Nathan Zagura alongside, very happy to be joined by my good friend and one of the hosts of the hottest football show on the planet. Good morning, football, and I'll say to you, good morning, Mr. Schrager. How are you?
Good morning to you, Mr. NZ. I'm happy to be here with you.
All right. Obviously, the Combine has become a huge event, and it's a huge event for the Browns year after year after year. Probably none bigger than this year. Six of the top 65 picks, two of the top four, two of the top two, top three in the second round. So I know you just put a mock out. Let's just dive right into that. What direction do you go if you're John Dorsey with the Browns picks one and four?
It's funny. Dorsey comes in with Elliott Wolf and Highsmith, and they have this whole thing where it's like, look, the guys who are on this roster, I didn't draft them, right? So it's a fresh start for them. So to me, I think, number one, this team has a quarterback need, obviously, and they've passed on quarterback in the first round so many years. I think the last 10 first-round picks, none of them have been quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns, the stat I heard, which is just wild. I do think number one is a quarterback. I have Sam Darnold going number one to the Cleveland Browns. And as weird as it sounds, it's almost like the safest pick. I'm not 100% sold that he is the top quarterback in this draft. Okay, I am a big Josh Rosen fan. I watch college football
absolutely
on a lot of Saturdays, and there was no better thrower of the football than that kid at UCLA. Baker Mayfield has a ton of swagger. Does things in college football that the NFL is migrating towards, almost that out-of-the-pocket RPO-type stuff that you say, well, that doesn't work in the NFL. Well, the NFL is now trying to adopt it. You saw what the Eagles did this year.
Sure.
And then you got Josh Allen, who's built like an absolute Adonis when it comes to what you want in a quarterback. Just a giant guy throwing the bomb. He's got the best arm, they say, since Flacco coming out of the draft. So all of those things being said, Darnold's got the pedigree, blue-collar guy. The reasons why everyone's having Darnold go one and why my sources are telling me Darnold's a safe pick, I still don't have anyone say he's the slam dunk best quarterback in this draft. I'm not sure if I'm a Browns fan if you want to hear that he's the safest pick being the one to be taken top overall.
You know, it's interesting about the quarterbacks because coming here, we've had people on CBD all the time, and we've only heard two names really linked to the Browns, and that is Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And Rosen was a guy that when I watched, the best thrower of the ball, and it seems like from a pocket standpoint, the best quarterback, but you don't hear a lot of buzz about him being the top overall pick. And I know the medicals are going to be big for him here, and then teams trying to get inside his brain and figure out what he's made of, but it's interesting. Any of those guys I'd be certainly fine with for the Browns, but being here and being out, and, you know, you hear things when you're out about, it sounds like Sam Darnold to the Browns, in most people's minds, is a foregone conclusion.
And a formality, and yet when you ask why, the word that everyone says, he's the guy. He's the guy. He's the most responsible. And I take a deep breath with that because
I will tell you this, though. Your colleague at the NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, said over the last 3 years, his highest graded quarterback is Sam Darnold, tied with Carson Wentz.
And I'll go one further. A guy that I really respect is Joel Klatt at Fox Sports, who calls all the Pac-12 games,
yep,
the biggest ones. And he said, everyone says, well, Rosen was playing with nothing. USC was a disaster for that
line.
until Sam Darnold came in. And he said Sam Darnold won more games for his team than any quarterback in college football the past 2 years. And I'm like, if I hear that and I know what the Browns are dealing with on their roster and this complete rebuild from the, you know, like rising like a phoenix, then maybe he is the guy because he's done it already for the Trojans.
We need somebody that can win games or a game coming off of an 0-16 season. So actually, I do like the sound of that. Now, one of the big questions surrounding the Browns this offseason is who will be protecting the blind side of that quarterback, Joe Thomas. Obviously, we're hearing from Hugh Jackson. There will be an announcement soon. Ian Rapoport saying yesterday, people close to Thomas tell him he will come back. But again, no official word. What are you hearing, Mr. Schrager?
This is the thing. Joe Thomas is obviously universally respected as maybe the best left tackle of his generation. We can go through the resume, but surefire first ballot Hall of Fame, all this stuff. What kind of shape is Joe Thomas in? We had him on at the Super Bowl, and he didn't look like the Joe Thomas I met with in a production meeting 2 years ago. Slimmed down significantly, had a different body type to him, and he's really good at this media thing.
Like, very good.
Like, very good for a guy who I don't think did much media the first few years of his career. Maybe inside the building you guys know him as this jovial. It was always like,
it's been recently.
Everyone has said for the first 10 years of his career, Joe Thomas, one of the best guys in the league, doesn't do much media. The last couple of years he came on our show on Good Morning Football, blew it out of the park last year, and now this podcast with Andrew Hawkins is very good. And I'm going to take this from a sports media perspective. You're talking about networks now grasping at straws looking for the next Tony Romo. This was a huge hit for CBS. You're looking in the landscape right now. How many future Hall of Famers are available for these networks? I don't know. You've got a Monday night football chair that's currently open. You've got a Thursday night football chair that's currently vacant for Fox. You've got all these different networks who air 7-8 games a week. Does Joe Thomas want to do this anymore? Does he want – because it's not as in the team, like, you know, we got to find a way to work out his contract. They'll have him back. Joe Thomas could be really good at media and could have a plum job in media. At the very least, take meetings and explore that. And that's what no one's talking about. They're talking about the physical
right.
toll. But let me tell you something. Working in sports media, a player that can go straight from the field to the broadcast booth or the field to the studio and make an immediate impact and move the needle is very rare. And Joe Thomas, just the rare experiences he's had, has been a home run in the sports media realm. So to me, that's the most impressive thing to me. And it's, does he want to come back and play football? Does he want to be part of this rebuild? Or does he want to start his next career, maybe the next 30 years of his life?
And we can wait for that. That's always going to be there for him, which is certainly one thing. But it is interesting with Joe. And one thing I can tell you, being in the Browns building, he has starting to put weight back on. It's kind of like, I don't know if you remember when The Rock left the WWE, went to Hollywood and like went down to 215 and he was almost unrecognizable. Well, now he's back to being a beast. So he's on his way back to old Joe. And
he's in the facility, though?
He's in the facility, working out all the time, every day. Yeah.
That's important.
Every day.
That's important to hear because I'm a Browns fan and I see him doing a podcast every day and having Manziel on Wednesday and that made national news and I'm sure the Barstool guys love Joe Thomas and you're suddenly this media superstar. To hear that he's still in the gym working
every
out
day.
And wearing Browns regalia and in the building, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And I just think knowing Joe as I've gotten to know him over the last few years, I doubt if he physically feels that he can do it, I don't think he wants to go out in a winless season when he got hurt. I think he would like to have one season,
taste
a little winning.
They were 0-16, but he wasn't really the guy on the field, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And they're not winning. You guys, the Browns probably aren't winning a Super Bowl in 2018. Do you think it matters
to him? I know
that,
yes.
Do you think it matters to him that 2017 the team went winless? Like, that? Like he'll retire and lose sleep on that?
No, I don't think he'd lose sleep on that, but I feel like maybe for a guy that never was injured, he might feel like he would be going out then not on his own terms.
Okay, that's fair. That's good.
All right. So maybe we'll see. I mean, he is there, and look, everybody in the Browns world certainly hopes that he does come back because it's important. You look at this draft, you know, not a lot of top tackles in this draft at all. Some people don't even think a tackle goes in the, you know, the top 10 picks. We had a couple people on who said they don't even have a tackle in their top 25 overall this year.
I did a mock draft. I've got the center from Iowa, James Daniels, going before any of the tackles.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
You never see that.
Never
see
that.
The tackle always goes first, yes.
Yeah, so it'd be a rough year. Maybe Nate Solder in free agency. But other than that, there really aren't any replacements out there. And that guy's going to get a ton of money because he's the only starting left tackle available.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But obviously, we hope he comes back. Now, one thing I do want to ask you, kind of taking away from the Browns, and maybe some of the stuff you heard does relate to the Browns and free agency, as they have a lot of money to spend. But what's just kind of some of the buzz you've been hearing out and about here in Indy? Anything juicy?
Yeah, I mean, the Kirk Cousins stuff is all anyone's talking about.
Minnesota?
I just see I see Mike Zimmer, the coach of the Vikings, walking behind us. And, yeah. It's a possibility. What I heard, and, you know, I said it on our show, and it didn't get the pickup of maybe a Schefter or Rappaport report or whatever it is, but I hear they're going with a very unique approach to this and that they want a short-term deal. So instead of the five-year $180 million or the $140 million, whatever it is that Garoppolo got. They're looking at 3 or 4 years, but most of it guaranteed up front, like cash, like pay me now so that he can do 3 years and then Cousins can maybe explore this again, double dip, do a little LeBron action and see where am I going to be next. But that hasn't been done. But when you have multiple suitors as a quarterback, which is so rare in free agency where you can kind of play and pick your spot, it's good. And again, I'm looking at the Minnesota guys. They're standing right behind us. But between Minnesota, the Jets, the Broncos, and I don't think the Cardinals necessarily are as much as a surefire thing as those three teams, it's going to be really interesting to see what Kirk Cousins values, what Kirk Cousins wants, and where Kirk Cousins ends up. To me, that's the number one story at the Combine, and it's the number one story in free agency.
I mean, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I look at Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, Dalvin Cook, a good enough offensive line, and that defense all locked up, and I have to think I can go there and win a Super Bowl.
And here's the other deal. Like, the Vikings, I looked at their roster. I've spoken to people in their organization. They did a really good job last year of re-upping players like Harrison Smith.
Key guys on the defense.
Rowe.
Absolutely.
This year, their free agent, their big free agent that they're losing is Jet McKinnon, which is a nice player, but you might not value that as much as some of the guys they already re-upped, Linval Joseph and Everson Griffin. Next year, Danielle Hunter's up, Anthony Barr's up, Michael Kendricks is up. So the window isn't necessarily huge. So if that's the case and you have money to spend and you've got all your guys locked up and next year is the year you got to deal with all those other big players, this could be a moment in time where for the Minnesota Vikings, you do just go for broke, you pay Cousins whatever he wants, you bite it, you figure it out, And then you see if he can get over the hump and get one step further than he did a year ago.
You think they would have, it would be appealing to both sides there, and it seems like a match that almost makes too much sense here today. But I just want to confirm, because I've been telling our listeners this, I don't think the Browns, Kirk Cousins, I take that out of your, not happening.
No.
No. All right. All right.
I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. And I don't. I think mutually I think it would make sense that neither side would particularly be
interested. Browns aren't ready to win necessarily right now. I don't know if a veteran quarterback is the way they need to go. And maybe a bridge guy, and we say bridge, maybe a Bridgewater or a Bradford. But I don't see the Browns, and I don't see John Dorsey specifically, a guy who I know pretty well from his Green Bay. I don't see him spending $30 million on a quarterback that he didn't draft.
I would agree with you on that. All right, got to ask you just about Good Morning Football. Give some plugs about it so everybody knows what's going on with you there. But you guys seem to have so much fun. Nate Burleson spent a little bit of time with the Browns a few years back. Love that guy. You, Kay, Kyle, you guys do a great job.
I appreciate it. And it's 7 to 10 every morning on the East Coast and in Cleveland on NFL Network. We pride ourselves on a mantra that football should be fun. That means even if you're an 0-16 team, we're going to talk about your team. We're going to celebrate your team. We're going to profile David Njoku and Jabril Peppers and make you want to root for Josh Gordon and all that stuff. We love football. I think a lot of the shows on other networks and a lot of things, I'll say it blatantly, I don't know if they love football. I think that a lot of times football's under attack. People want to take things, the negatives of football. We talk about ball, we have a good time, and we love the players and the coaches around the league.
And every time I've got to come on, I have a blast with you guys. We need some more good Browns news so I can come talk about that
confident.
With you.
I honestly feel good about the Browns next year. Burleson predicted 8 wins for 2017. They won 0. I think this year things are going to be a little different. And I'm a Hugh Jackson guy like you, so I think
I
they do
well.
Have the right guy. So I hope for improvement for the Browns.